Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and worship Him together. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love You tonight, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I thank the Lord for this good service tonight. I'm glad you're here, but I'm glad to be here because God is here. I feel the wonderful presence of the Lord. We have worshiped the Lord, and we will continue to worship the Lord, I trust, as the word of the Lord goes forth. It's wonderful to be in the presence of God. I wonder, did you ever stop to think how it would be if you had no church to go to and nowhere to go to hear a message from the Word of God and no one to talk to that loved God and no one to pray with, no one to sing with, no one to worship with? You'd just be isolated off somewhere in the world by yourself. Well, I know God could keep you, but it's a whole lot nicer this way, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we get so much fellowship together, we don't really appreciate that fellowship. There are areas of our work where they have to travel many, many miles to have fellowship meetings and conferences and so on, and I was in some of them this spring. And really, they just don't like to part when the conference is over. They'll stand around for, seem to me, like hours, just visiting. And they've got several hundred miles to drive home, but they just enjoy the fellowship so much they don't want to separate. Well, that's wonderful. We should all appreciate fellowship like that. Thank God, because there's no one in the world that cares about God's people as much as God's people do. And if we don't love one another, there's not very many others going to love us. And we better love one another with all our hearts. Thank God, because this is a wonderful fellowship to be in. If you don't believe it, and I hope this doesn't happen to you, but let something go wrong, somebody gets seriously ill, you get seriously ill, or someone in your family gets very serious illness or disease of something, and you find out what kind of a fellowship we have. Praise God, because it doesn't take long for news to spread today. Is that right? Yeah, we have board meetings, and before the board gets out of the room, the news is out. And don't ask me how it gets out. It does. Somebody said, who's the one that carries the news? I don't know. But maybe there's some birds flying around. But anyhow, news travels fast. And if you got real sick today, the news would go over this district and around this fellowship, and the prayer wheels would start turning. Thank God, and you'd be getting telephone calls, and there'd be hundreds of prayers going forth to God for you. Now, that's the kind of a fellowship we have. Praise God, and that makes you appreciate the fellowship all the more. Thank God. Well, let's thank Him for it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now, I appreciate the spirit of fellowship that you have demonstrated here tonight in sending your superintendent, his wife, to the World Fellowship Conference in Jerusalem in November. This will not only be a help to Brother and Sister Chapman and a blessing to them and enjoyable to them, but it will be a blessing to your district. And they will bring back things from this conference that will bless your district. And I appreciate the fact that you are going to do this. Many of our districts are sending their superintendent and his wife on this trip. And many of our small districts are doing this. And we appreciate this very much. This promises to be a very outstanding meeting. 3 days and four nights of conference together with people from all over the world. National leaders from all of our mission fields around the world, as well as missionary superintendents and personnel. And quite a large contingency, it appears, is going from North America. And we are so thankful for that. We believe that there will be a wonderful conference in Jerusalem. If the Lord tarries, and if he doesn't tarry, we don't care. Praise God. We don't want a one-way ticket to the old Jerusalem, but we want a one-way ticket to the new one. Amen. Thank God. If I get to that new Jerusalem, I don't care if I ever come back to this earth again. I just hope I can stay there. Thank God. So God bless you. Now, while you stand, if you will, let me direct you to the Word of the Lord and a portion of Scripture for the message tonight from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I'm reading beginning at the 25th verse, Hebrews chapter 12. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And then the 16th chapter of Matthew, verses 17 and 18. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And our Father, we pray thy blessings upon the message tonight. We ask you, Lord, to bless our hearts as we are here together, assembled in conference, with a desire to hear from the throne of grace tonight. Oh Lord, we don't want to speak for ourselves, but we want to speak for you. We represent not ourselves, but we represent you. We are not our own ambassadors, we are ambassadors for you. Thank God, we ask you to bless the word of the Lord tonight and bless our hearts as we sit together in this heavenly place. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak tonight on the subject of the unshakable church. The unshakable church, or an alternate subject, what's right with the church? What's right with the church? And I use that alternate subject because I confess to you that sometimes I grow weary of hearing what's wrong with the church. Amen. That's right. And we hear a lot of messages on what's wrong with the church. and the evils in the church and the deficiencies that we have. But while there may be things wrong that you and I recognize, there's a whole lot about the church that's right. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I know what's right about the church. Hallelujah. I heard someone somewhere in this world sometime back preaching about the coming of the Lord. And it's easy to make Pentecostal people shout when you talk about the coming of the Lord. But I confess to you, he painted such a gloomy picture of the things that we're living in, and really sad and disheartening. And when I was all over, I just wondered, is that going to be such a wonderful time or not? I almost made you wish the Lord wasn't coming. You see, we can preach the truth in such a negative way that it has a negative effect on us. It doesn't have the desired effect. And I think we can preach the truth in such a way, praise God, that it will make us appreciate the church. It'll make us appreciate the message and the standards that we hold and the fact that Jesus is coming. Praise God. This ought to be a happy time. The days just preceding the coming of the Lord should be happy days for the church. I'm happy about it. Oh, yes, I wouldn't care how soon the Lord come. I could forget a lot of problems. Amen. But that would solve a whole lot of problems if the Lord had come right away. I heard somebody say the other day, there's nothing bothering me that heaven won't take care of. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank God, if you're sick, heaven will take care of it. And if you're a little discouraged, heaven will take care of it. Look up and lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. These are happy days. These are great days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we can pour mouth it all we want to, but brother, we're living in great days. Hallelujah. Now, according to the scripture that I read to you, there are some things in this world that are shakable. Paul speaks about those things that are shaken, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There are things in this world that can be moved. There are things in this world that can be destroyed. There are things that can be shaken. But along with that, there's something in this world that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. For he speaks of those things which cannot be shaken, that they may remain. And then he goes on and speaks about a kingdom which cannot be moved. We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, we're living in the days when it looks like everything that can be shaken is being shaken. All around you and I, things are shaking. And we don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. And we've sort of gotten immune to surprises and spectacular and sensational events in the world. And we're almost shockproof anymore. It seems like anything can happen, and it doesn't shock us too much. That's the shakeable world that we're living in. And we've sort of gotten steeled to it until it doesn't bother us too much. But there are governments in the world that are being shaken. And in the last few years, the list of governments that have been shaken and that have changed hands and that have tottered is quite long. It's getting to be quite a lengthy list.
Things have happened in world governments that have never happened before. They've happened right here in our own nation. Our own government changing hands in the middle of a term by reason of a resignation. This has never happened in the history of our nation before, but it did happen. And things are happening in governments today that never happened before. And they're teetering and tottering every day almost. You read of some that are suffering and being destroyed and going down to destruction. Religions in the world are being shaken today. That's right. Religions are being shaken from their century-old foundations. And the theories and the ideas and the dogmas that they have held on to for years, now they have changed them, they've altered them. My friend, I don't know how you can alter truth. If it was ever true, it still has to be true today. If it's not true today, it was never true. How can you change something that's truth? That's happening in the world today in one of the greatest, the largest churches, religious bodies in our nation today that's based in St. Louis, Missouri, is being shaken and about to split right down the middle because of doctrinal differences, the conservatives versus the liberals and the modernists versus the orthodox, and they're right in the throes of division and about to be divided right down the middle. That's right. It's a shaking day. Society is being shaken today. And we're putting up and condoning social customs today that just a few years ago our forefathers would have frowned at, and the police would have put you in jail for doing it. But now we laugh at it. Some people do. I don't. I don't think there's anything funny about some of these things. But they're being condoned today. This is the social structure of our world that's being changed and being shaken to its very foundations. The economy of the world is in a state of shaking today and being moved. It's a very unstable economy. It's not just in our own nation, it's all over the world. Everywhere. It's a global problem. Inflation is not just here, but it's everywhere. We're not paying very high prices for things we're buying today in relation to other nations. Some of us went into a little tea room in Paris, France, one Sunday afternoon. We just wanted something to drink. It wasn't very much open, and this was just a little old run-down place. And it was open, and we went in, and six of us got a cup of coffee. That's all we got, no refills. And when we got our bill, it was $9. Now, if I had to pay $1.50 for a cup of coffee, I could easily get a conviction against coffee drinking. And I could start preaching against it. And some of us wouldn't drink as much as we do if it cost that much. But that's what it was. That time they were paying $1.25 for a gallon of gasoline. Now it's about $2. And that's the state of the economy of the world. It's being shaken. Let me say to you tonight, not only is everything being shaken, but can be shaken. I say everything that can be shaken, it should be shaken. It should be shaken. If you can be shaken in your Christian experience tonight, you ought to be shaken. Because that's a pretty good sign you've got an interior experience with God. But when you get a real, genuine, Holy Ghost, Bible-centered experience with God, it's an unshakable experience. Thank God, you can't be moved from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of these things are being shaken to show you and I the fallibility of material things. How fallible, how weak, how destructive, how movable, how shakable the material things of this world are. Oh, friends, we're living in a materialistic age that can't stand the trend that is going on. It cannot survive the landslide that it's on. It's bound for destruction. Because it's not built for the kind of a storm the world is in today. When they build a ship to sail the high seas, they build that ship to stand a storm. They don't just build it for beauty, for comfort, and for convenience. But they know that somewhere out there on the high seas, it's going to hit some bad weather. It's going to run into high winds, and the waves are going to dash against that ship. And they build that design it and build it with that in mind, so that it can go through a storm. We fly around the world in these airplanes, and we enjoy them, and we have a lot of confidence in them. And when we get on a plane, we don't think about getting acquainted with the pilot. We don't say, "I want to meet the pilot of this airplane. I want to see what kind of a fellow he is. I want to see whether he's sober or not. I'd like to take a look at the cockpit and see if everything's in order in there." Most of us wouldn't know if it was or wasn't. We put a lot of confidence in those things. And they build those things to go through a storm. Because they know that somewhere up there in the air sometime, that ship is going to hit some turbulence and some cross winds, and that airplane is going to be tossed about in the air. And so when they design it and build it, they have that in mind, that it can survive a storm. When they build a building like we're in tonight, they don't just have size and beauty and comfort and convenience in mind, but they know that sometime there's going to be some strong winds, especially in West Texas, and there's going to be some heavy rains beat on the building, and there's going to be some snowfall, and so in the designing and the structure of it, they build it to stand a storm. And many of the things that you and I enjoy tonight are built to stand the storm. But even as well as these things are planned, as well as a ship at sea is planned and built, and as well as an airplane is designed and structured, and as well as a building is built, erected, once in a while one of these go down under the wing of a storm. Sometime, once in a while, a ship will go down at sea, or a plane will come down out of the air like it's not supposed to. And a building will collapse under the weight of a storm. As well as with all of our scientific and engineering ability, still occasionally these things are destroyed by physical storm. But I want to tell you tonight, praise God, I am so happy. I am so glad, thank God, I'm so glad to tell you that I belong to something tonight, and you and I belong to something tonight, praise God, that will never be destroyed. It'll never go down under the weight of a storm. Hallelujah. The Church of the Living God was built for a storm. It'll never be destroyed by a storm. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank God it was made for a storm. And it's been in a storm ever since its inception. There's been opposition to the church from the very beginning of it. They've been trying to destroy this church and destroy the Bible and destroy God's people. But praise God, the church is still going on. And the church is getting stronger. And the church is getting more impregnable. Thank God, there's no force, political, social, religious, economical. There's no force in this world, thank God, that can penetrate the church of the living God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Back there in the very beginning, they said, we'll stop this thing. We'll stop this new cult that's going on, and we'll take care of it. And they began to persecute, and they began to fight, and they began to kill. And they said, we'll stop this movement. And so they persecuted, and they killed one of the disciples. And they said, this will be the end of it. But praise God, was that the end? No, no. Praise God, they scattered. They went everywhere. They said, that's the way to stop it. Just scatter them. No, no. They went everywhere, carrying the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God. And preaching the truth of the Word of God. And the church sprung up here and here and here and here. Everywhere they went, the church grew and the church multiplied. Thank God. And souls were born into the kingdom of God. Praise God. It didn't destroy it. Thank God, it strengthened the church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, when the Lord designed this church, He knew it was going to have storms. He knew a lot of things were going to happen. He knew all the forces of hell were going to be arrayed against the church. He knew the gates of hell would rise up against the church. Praise God, but He said, I've designed this church in such a way, and I'm going to build this church in such a way that the gates of hell will never prove superior to my church. Hallelujah. That's what that word prevail means. It will never prevail or prove superior to my church. It'll stand all the forces of hell. Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him. Worship Him again. Yes, the Lord knew that there were going to be storms arrayed against the church. Let me read about it to you. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Isn't that a happy picture? My, my, the Lord told His disciples, you're going forth into the world as sheep in the midst of wolves. It's a wonder they didn't all turn back. But they didn't. He said, I want to tell you what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And it shall be brought you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. You don't even have to prepare your speech when they bring you in before the magistrates. What are you going to say when you go, I don't know? Why? It shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Hallelujah. See how the Lord's provided for His church? What a wonderful provision He's made for it. It's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Did you ever speak something without forethought and wonder where that came from? I'm sure every preacher here has. And after you said it, it sounded so profound, you wondered where it came from. You knew it didn't come out of your intellect, and you hadn't thought about it, but where did it come from? God speaking through you. It is not you that speak, but the Spirit of the Father that speaketh in you. Oh, hallelujah. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. It almost sounds like the daily newspaper. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. No, wait a minute. Because you have the Holy Ghost. You shall be hated of all men because you live right. And you believe in holiness and righteous living. No, it doesn't read that way. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Hallelujah. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Now that's not just, that doesn't mean gritting your teeth and clenching your fists and doing your level best every day to try to keep from sinning and try to keep your heart right and not going to the places you shouldn't go to and saying things you shouldn't say and looking at things you shouldn't look at. That's not what that means. Friend, you must have a better experience than that with God. Thank God, where you can stare wrong in the face and have no desire to do it. Thank God, you can walk by a sinful place on the street and there's no enticement there. There's nothing that's alluring to you. Thank God. You go on your way praising God, worshiping God because you've got something inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the kind of a church this is. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Why is this church so strong? First of all, it's His church. Amen. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And this is not my church. The place you pastor is not your church. I know we call it that, and we don't really mean it that way. We mean the church we're pastoring. We all know it's not our church. Hallelujah. Thank God it isn't. See, we have a lot of people in there that don't belong there if it was up to us. Because we can't read men's hearts. We can't read their minds. We don't know their private lives. And we put a lot of people in there that didn't belong there if we had our way. And it was up to our judgment. But this is His church. Hallelujah. This church is so strong because it belongs to Him. And everything that He has ever done has been right and perfect. I said it's perfect. You say, what about the hypocrites in the church? Pardon my grammar, but there ain't none. There aren't any. Does that sound better? I just want you to know what I meant. No hypocrites in the church I'm talking about. Not one single hypocrite in the church I'm preaching about tonight. And I'm not preaching about the United Pentecostal Church because we may have some of them sitting around. But they're not in the church I'm talking about tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody in this church is right with God. Everybody in this church is living right. Publicly and privately.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got some hypocrites sitting around on the pews maybe, but not in the church. Oh, God help us Thank God, this is a perfect church. Everything my Lord ever did, He did it just exactly right. He never made a mistake. Praise God, He never had an accident. Nothing the Lord ever happened by chance. Praise God, nothing ever happened without the Lord's planning it. And He planned it just right. It's a perfect church. It has to be perfect to be strong. My Lord was perfect. He was a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish. Thank God, He was a perfect sacrifice. He had to be a perfect sacrifice to atone for the sins of a sinful people, because a sinful sacrifice could never atone for the sins of sinful people. Praise God, it took a perfect sacrifice, and He was that perfect sacrifice. And the church He's building today is a perfect church. Oh, let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. 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 This church is strong because He's building it.
That's right.
He said, I will build. And we're just working.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He was the architect of the church. He designed it. Praise God. He's building it. He's the superintendent on the job. And when it's all finished, He'll be the inspector. Hallelujah. And He's going to disregard and disapprove those things that are not just right, and keep those things that are perfect in the church. Thank God, He is doing the work, and He's the inspector, and it'll be just right. This church tonight is strong because it's built on truth. Hallelujah. And there's nothing stronger than truth. Truth always prevails. Hallelujah. Truth is unchangeable. It is unalterable. It cannot be changed. It cannot be modified. It cannot be altered. It cannot be watered down and still be truth. It takes the truth to make you free. Now, if He'd have meant part of a truth could make you free, He'd have said it that way. But He said, the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. The truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Thank God, that's all that'll set men free from sin. Upon this rock, or this truth, He likened truth unto a rock that's solid, it's steadfast, it's unmovable. Hallelujah. It's stable. It never changes. Praise God, it always is always the same. It always does its work. Hallelujah. All you and I have to do is preach the truth, believe the truth, and the work will be done. Hallelujah. We are not responsible for the results of the truth. We are only responsible for the preaching of it. Peter had just uttered a profound truth. Hallelujah. What was that truth? First of all, he said, Thou art the Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thou art the anointed of God.
Hallelujah.
The anointed of God. Now, we ordinarily think of anointing in connection with preaching. And that's exactly what it is. Hallelujah. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then he said, preach the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was that? Is that all that knows who that was? Who was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us? Say his name. Jesus. The Word made flesh. And then he called men out of every walk of life. And he said, go preach the Word. Hallelujah. The only message we've got to preach tonight is Jesus Christ. And if we preach Christ, it will be anointed. It will be endowed with the power of God. It will be anointed from heaven. For he is the anointed of God. Oh, hallelujah. Worship him again. Thou art the Word preached. Thou art...
About this.
Thou art the Son. The image of the invisible God. Not a second God, but the image of the only one true God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ. God in form of man. Hallelujah. Reconciling the world unto himself. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I got to thinking one day about the first verse in the Bible. And it says, in the beginning, God. God did something. In the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And I got to thinking about that. And I noticed it didn't say, in the beginning, God was made. But in the beginning, God made something. And the question came to my mind, where'd God come from? Where did God get his beginning? Where do you go to find out his origin? Well, you can't, because he had no beginning. Hallelujah. He's without beginning and he's without ending. He's Alpha, he's Omega, the beginning and the ending, the one who is, who was, who is to come, what? The Almighty. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. Thank God he is forever. There was never a time when God did not exist. Hallelujah. God existed before this earth existed. Hallelujah. And there was never a time in this world when there was a multiplicity of gods. Praise God. If there was one God back there in the beginning, that's all there's ever been.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And there was never a time when this world was without a God. This world was not without a God while Jesus lay in the tomb. Hallelujah. God still exists, for God is a spirit, and a spirit hath not flesh and bones. Praise God. It hath not beginning or ending. Praise God. It cannot be seen, but it can be felt. And the power of God was demonstrated on that day when Jesus was crucified, when the thunder rolled and the lightning flashed. Who made it do that? My God made it. Not the one that hung on the tree, not that flesh that was on the cross, but the great God of all the universe. He did the work. Hallelujah.
Well, praise God.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen my Father also." Now, that's a strange thing to say, isn't it? Yes, it is. Because there's no man in here tonight, or no individual in here, that can say that. No one ever lived on earth that could say that but Jesus.
That's right.
Hallelujah. When you see me, you don't see my Father. Is that right, Brother Pugh? Amen. We don't even look alike, do we? I got some hair. Hallelujah. Don't you tell him I said that.
No individual could ever say, "If you have seen me, you've seen my Father also." But Jesus said it. And it was true. Hallelujah! Oh, not that flesh, but the God that was in him, the Spirit that was in him, the one he came to manifest to the world. Thank God, he was God.
Hallelujah. And this great church, this unshakable church, is projecting his image to the world today. Hallelujah. What does the world see when they look at us? I think we ought to ask ourselves that question once in a while. What impression do people get when they're with us? Amen. I have had men of God in my home, visiting in my home, maybe staying overnight. When they left my home, I felt like the very presence of God himself had been there. Because they were godly men. Men full of the Holy Ghost. They were not men that sat around and gossiped, talked about everybody, criticized everything that was going on, found fault with everyone. No, no, they talked about the wonderful, glorious things of God. When they prayed, you felt God's holy presence. Hallelujah. That's the image that we ought to be projecting to the world. And then I have had some that have left me feeling otherwise. Oh, God, help us to project the right kind of an image. Help us to let the world see the right kind of a person. When they look at us, they ought to be able to say, "That's a man of God. That's a saint of God.
That's a child of God. I felt something in their presence. Hallelujah. How vividly are we projecting His image to the world? This is a glorious church. It's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It's pure. It's clean. It's holy. Does the world see that when they look at us? Do they feel that when they walk in our churches? And then Jesus, Peter said, "Thou art the Son of the living God." The living God. "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Hallelujah. Everything about the life of Jesus spoke of power, action, life. Things happened when Jesus came around. Something happened when He came on the scene. Hallelujah. Sick were healed. Blind were made to see. Dead were raised. Hungry were fed. Because He is life. Life. Power. Something took place when Jesus came around. When Jesus got in the ship and launched out, thank God something happened. Three times Jesus entered into the realms of death and brought people back to life again besides Himself. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ is the only man that ever lived and died and lived again and never died again. Is that right? I was teaching a Sunday school class of young men one day. I mean, mature young men. We were teaching about Lazarus and his being brought back to life again. And this one of these young men spoke up. He said, "Did Lazarus ever die again?" I said, "Well, I believe he did." Well, he said, "I can't understand that. I can't understand why Jesus would bring someone back to life and then let him die again." Well, I said, "If he isn't dead, he's a pretty old man by now." And I believe he died again. The widow Nain's son died again. The daughter of Jairus died again, but not Jesus. He is alive forevermore. Never again will they take his life from him. Never again will he be required to lay down his life. Thank God. He said, "I lay it down of myself. No man taketh it from me." Praise God. I do it of myself. But he arose again and he never died again. Hallelujah. Worship him again. Hallelujah. The most unusual thing has happened when Jesus came around. as we call them miracles. He didn't call them miracles. We do. The reason we call them miracles is because of things we can't do. And that's all a miracle is. There are things that human hands cannot do. It takes God to do them. God does not do the things that we can do. That's right. If you've got the power to take care of yourself and pay your bills and meet all your obligations, God doesn't do that for you. All you have to do is reach down in your pocket and cough up. And pay up. But if you haven't got it, and you don't know where it's coming from, and you're going to be in trouble if you don't get it, then God works a miracle and brings it about. God does things that we can't do. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus was doing continually. Thank God he was doing things that no man could do. And he still is tonight. He took a little boy's lunch one day and fed a great big crowd of people. And me. That little boy's lunch is all that was in the crowd. And there wasn't enough food in the whole town to feed that 5,000 men besides their women and children. But Jesus took that little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 men besides women and children, and they had 12 baskets of leftovers when it was all done. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I almost call him an idiot, but I won't. He says that wasn't a miracle. He said those were big loaves of bread. And those were big fish. Well, pretty big lunch for a little boy. And if that wasn't a miracle, it was a miracle that that little boy could carry loaves of bread that big. And 5 of them, and 2 fish that big. I don't know whether they make loaves of bread that big. I don't know whether they make fish that big or not. They make fish stories that big, but I don't know about fish. I believe it was a miracle.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord worked a miracle with a little boy's lunch. You know that little boy must have got the shock of his life when he gave up that lunch. I don't know whether he was reluctant to do it or not, but I rather imagine he was at first. But Jesus said, bring it here. Let me have it. And that little boy must have stood back there, his eyes popping out as he saw Jesus serving that bread and fish. And the longer he served, the more there was. Not like our food. The more you serve, the less there is. But the more Jesus served, the more there was. And that little boy must have stood there and looked and looked and walked around and wondered, what in the world am I seeing? I never saw anything like this. And you know what? I don't believe that little fella ever forgot that the rest of his life. I believe he had a story to tell, praise God, that if it was in our day, he'd have made a fortune with it. And then I think, what if that little boy said, no, sir, you can't have my lunch. This is mine. You can't have it. I'm going to hang on to it. My mama gave me this, and you can't have it. This is my church. This is my kingdom. Don't you dare touch it. You have no right to it. I built it.
voices in it. You can't have it.
And we wrap it all up in our little package and say, nothing doing. Lay off. You can't have it. That little boy would have missed the greatest experience of his life. Oh, yes, but he was blessed by giving. He was blessed by turning over, giving what he had. He didn't have much, but he was blessed. And a whole crowd of people were blessed by it, by the little bit that he had. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't matter what we have, much or little. Thank God if we'll give what we have to him, distribute it to him for his glory. Thank God it'll be the greatest experience of our life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What's right with the church? Well, I just have to say everything about it is right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Everything about it is just the way my Lord wants it. And I don't mean UPC or any other church, any other organization. But I'm talking about that church Jesus said I'm going to build. Hallelujah. If you get in it, it'll be just right. If you get in it, you'll be just right. Thank God if you're a member of that church, if you're a soul in that building or a pillar in that building, whatever part you may play in that building, if you're in it, you're right with God. You're just right. You're the way God wants you. If you're not the way He wants you, you're not in it. It's just that simple. God help us to live right, because this is a holy church. Help us to be clean, because this is a pure church. Hallelujah. Help us to be strong, because this is a strong church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Help us to be faithful, because this church is made up of faithful people.
Right.
Help us to have faith, because it's made up of people with faith. Help us to have trust and confidence in God, because that's the kind of people this church is made up of. Oh, hallelujah. There's not a defect in the church. There's nothing in the church that's not the way it ought to be. Oh, God, I want to be a part of it. Just a little stone, or just some part of it. Let me belong to this glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Hallelujah. That's the kind of a church I'm talking about tonight. An unshakable church, an unmovable kingdom. Oh, let's praise the Lord together again. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Stand and worship the Lord. Let's stand and worship Him. Hallelujah. It's a glorious church, a happy church. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you like to be a part of that church tonight? Would you like to be a part of that church tonight? There's some here that needs the Lord in their life. There's some here tonight that's not ready. You're not a part of that church. Would you like to be tonight? Would you come as Brother Kelly sings? Join with the Lord in prayer. We'll pray with you that you can come become a part of that church. The Lord has given himself for you. He's reaching out for you tonight. Amen. Would you like to become a part of that kingdom? Would you tonight? Would you come?